chapter 25, text number 57 to 61, reading 61. Kvachicca sochitim jayam. Kvachicca sochitim jayam. Anusochati dhyanavat. Anusochati dhyanavat. Anuhrushyati hrushyantam. Anuhrushyati hrushyantam. Mudita manumodate. Mudita manumodate. Kvachicca sochatim jayam. Anusochati dhyanavat. Anuhrushyati hrushyantam. Mudita manumodate.
Thank you.
ఇంగ్లీష్ పుస్తకం అక్కడ అక్కడ ఉందా? The శ్లోకాస్ బిఫోర్ దిస్ విచ్ ఆర్ ఆల్ టుగెదర్ క్వచిత్ పిబయంత్యాం పిబతి మదిరాం మద వివల అస్నంతాం క్వచిత్ అస్నాతి జక్షత్యాం సహజక్షితి క్వచిత్ గాయతి గాయంత్యాం రోదత్యాం రోదతి క్వచిత్ క్వచిద్ దశంత్యాం హసతి జల్పంతాం అనుజల్పతి క్వచిత్ ధావతి ధావంత్యాం తిష్టాంత్యాం అనుతిష్టతి అనుసేతే సేనాయాం అన్వస్తే క్వచిదాసితిం క్వచిత్ శృణోతి శృణోత్యాం పశ్యంత్యాం అనుపశ్యతి క్వచిత్ జిగ్రతి జిగ్రంత్యాం స్పృశ్యంతాం స్పృతతి క్వచిత్ క్వచిత్ శోచతాం జాయాం అనుశోచతి దేనవత్ అనుహృష్యతి హృష్యంతాం ముదితాం అనుమోదతే. ట్రాన్స్లేషన్: వెన్ ది క్వీన్ డ్రాంక్ లిక్కర్, కింగ్ పురంజన ఆల్సో ఎంగేజ్డ్ ఇన్ డ్రింకింగ్. వెన్ ది క్వీన్ డైన్డ్, హీ యూజ్డ్ టు డైన్ విత్ హర్. వెన్ షీ చూడ్, కింగ్ పురంజన యూజ్డ్ టు చూ అలాంగ్ విత్ హర్. When the queen sang, he also sang. Similarly, when the queen cried, he also cried. When the queen laughed, he also laughed. When the queen talked loosely, he also talked loosely. When the queen walked, the king walked behind her. When the queen would stand still, the king would also stand still. When the queen would lie down in bed, he would also follow and lie down with her. When the queen sat, he would also sit. When the queen heard something, he would follow to hear the same thing. When the queen saw something, the king would also look at it. When the king smelled something, the king would follow her to smell the same thing. When the queen touched something, the king also would touch it. When the dear queen was lamenting, the poor king also had to follow her in lamentation. In the same way, when the queen felt enjoyment, he also enjoyed. When the queen was satisfied, the king also felt satisfaction. When the dear queen was lamenting, the poor king also had to follow her in lamentation. Why the king is called here poor king? You know, king cannot be poor. Why did he use the word poor king? Because he has no head of himself. Whatever the queen was saying, saying that he was poor in his intelligence. He is not poor, but he is poor in his intelligence. Generally, man has to take the decisions for the family, and woman has to lead the man has to lead the woman. But because as a typical conditioned person, he has become a puppet in the hands of the woman, dancing doll in the hands of the woman. So that means he has lost direction in life. His entire being is just how to make the queen happy. What about my reputation? What about my responsibilities? What about my next birth? Nothing. Just is like, we call it henpecked husband, no? So this king is a henpecked husband. In the same way, bolo, when the queen felt enjoyment, he also enjoyed. When the queen was satisfied, the king also felt satisfaction. So here, the poor king can also be supported with the statement. When the queen was lamenting, not necessary that the king has to lament. And it is also possible that if the queen was lamenting the king is composed or is not lamenting, and he can make the queen also overcome her lamentation. Like we hear in the story of Raja Chitraketu. Raja Chitraketu is only dearest son. He expired by the plot of his co-wives. He has one queen from whom this Harshasoka was born. And the other queens, they became very envious, and they put poison in the milk. They put poison in the milk and fed the child, because now we are all barren and we have no place. We are all nothing more than servants, maid servants to the queen, who could bore the child. So now we are nothing for the king. Because the king wanted a son, and one particular queen could give the child. So now that queen is the principal queen. That queen is the dearmost queen. And because the son is there, naturally she is the mother, and everything he has to do with that queen only. So other queens, before that, none of them had children. So the queen was equal to everybody. Now it is not the case. So the other queens became very jealous. They became very envious. And then they thought, so you don't know how to figure out the human emotions. They thought there is a hire for the king, that after the king, the kingdom is not without a ruler or a successor. So everybody should be happy. But because it is the human nature, they become envious and jealous. And you cannot detect what is inside a person, except for very advanced Vaishnavas, you cannot know the emotional fluctuations of a person. In one sense, it is said a Vaishnava also cannot be understood. But that is not in the sense that he may cheat you any time. That is not in that sense. We have some underestimation of the Vaishnavas, like general human emotions. You respect, you treat one person nicely, and naturally the other person also is obliged, or he also feels like, you know, he is so kind, so I should also deal with him in the same way. And you neglect a person, if he doesn't care, why should I care? I also care less. That is normal human behavior. But with a Vaishnava, you cannot predict. No? Like you may, out of your out of our petty nature, you may try to mistreat a Vaishnava, but he will not mistreat us back, but instead he will act in such a way that you feel bad. No, this man is so nice, even I did like this, but still he is so respectful to me. Then you start changing. That means the Vaishnava could change the other person. It's not a mechanical reaction which you see in this world, good for good, bad for bad. But good for more good. you do something good to your Vaishnava, he wants to do more good, you know. Like you do a little thing, favor, and a Vaishnava will become your well-wisher. You know? He can give you something, you know, you please a Vaishnava, and he can give you actually what you cannot imagine also. And you may do bad to a Vaishnava, but you may not even notice it. Because it is said that a good Vaishnava, he makes it a policy not to see bad in others. That is a Vaishnava. Krishna is always kind, no matter what we are. And Krishna's devotees, they also try as much as they can that I don't have to see what others have done for me, but I only have to think what I can do for others. That is the only interest. Because a Vaishnava is a person who doesn't have any expectations from others. He just is concerned about what can I do for others. So here, the king, if he had got training, the situation could be different. But unfortunately, the king, although he was such a big man, but he was not a royal, he was not a saintly king. You know, there is a difference between Raja Rishi and simply a Raja. You know? A king and a saintly king, it's a total difference. The saintly king, he can completely, like Parikshit Maharaj, Yudhishthir Maharaj, a saintly king can completely change the fortune of his citizens because he knows how to lead the public. So anyone who takes up a leadership role, we become eager to lead, but we may not be aware that a leader has some qualification, a leader has some responsibility. Everybody wants position, but a Vaishnava, he doesn't compete for positions. He knows that everything is service, whether it is a leader or a servant. Actually, it is said that a leader is a bigger servant. Generally, in the material world, a leader, he bosses around. But in Vaishnava tradition, in Vaishnava etiquette, Leader means bigger servant. Because it's the parampara of servants. So who will be the leader? One who can one who can be the best servant. That's what Prabhupada said. One who is a good disciple, he will also become a good guru. If you don't know how to become a good disciple, and when you take on disciples, how you are going to guide them? Because you never know, you never knew how to be a disciple, so you are going to train. Like sometimes we see somebody is directly appointed as some temple president. Even in material positions also, like Lal Bahadur Shastri or Abdul Kalam, they are not born in big leaders' families. They have started their career from a very low position. They were teachers. So they could see, they could know the pulse of ordinary, how the life of ordinary people go on. So when they have a big position, then immediately they understand how the citizens of the country have to be helped. But if you are from a royal family and you walk into the big forest, you never know what are the difficulties of a simple family, no? How they are actually having difficulty with their basic needs also, things like that. So the point is, everybody needs training, whether it is a king or a father and mother or husband or a guru or some institutional head. It's always good that they go through the training process. The standard is anyone who takes up the leadership role, he has to put aside his interest. That is the business of leader. Leader means who wants to serve others. If you just want position and want to take the powers that accrue to you from position, but you don't know your responsibilities, then you are distanced from masses. You cannot relate with the masses. So this king, he has no training at all. This king is simply like any ordinary person, ordinary people, you know, we are attracted to sense gratification. And how can a person who is a sense gratifier can be a leader? If you are a sense gratifier, means you are going to exploit the public because you want gratification of senses. Money comes. You want to make ways how you can usurp that money for your sense gratification. You collect money from the public. And because you are a public leader, money comes. And you devise this. How can I change the accounts and try to pocket the money yourself? So Prabhupada says the first quality of a leader is that he should be self-controlled. So he says, anyone who cannot follow these don'ts is unfit to be a leader. No, like no intoxication, no illicit sex, no gambling, and what is the fourth one? No meat eating, yes. No meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling, no illicit sex. So anyone who wants to be a leader, how an intoxicated person, how a person who is controlled by a woman, and one who is so cruel, just for his survival, he wants to eat meat. What is the need? But because he is so indifferent, so insensitive to life, so he may deal with people also. No? So people who are meat eaters, if they are leaders, which they are mostly nowadays, all our leaders, they eat meat. And so they cannot be sensitive to the difficulties and pains of others. They are so cruel. So it doesn't register in their heads. So a leader has to be trained. He should have some qualifications. And the business of a leader, I was remembering one story, you know, of Gandhi. Gandhi was always, he was not wearing shirt. He was bare-chested. Even in the dead winters of Europe, he was not wearing anything to cover his chest. So people had a shock because he was invited as a representative of India. He came to. So they wanted to treat him like a leader. But his lifestyle was so simple. They wanted to provide him, you know, A-class facilities just for the leader. But he was not accepting all that. And then even in India, he was always with bare chest. And one young man, he thought, why Gandhi in heat and cold, he's not wearing. So he said, maybe I will offer him. He's not taking by himself, so I will offer him. So this young man, who is a follower of Gandhi, he went to Gandhi and said, Gandhiji, I would like to give you a shirt. Please, you have to wear this shirt. You may not buy shirt for yourself, but I want to give you. And kindly accept. He said, I have a family, you know. I have a family. When they all have enough to wear, then I can also. And, you know, that's a fact. So you have a family, and you are the head of the family. You don't care for whether wife is taken care, children, nothing, but you, generally you don't do that. So, because you are the husband, you want to take care of family, and then in the end you want to. So Gandhi said to that young person, I have a family. When my family members do not have, then how can I have this kind of luxury? So that young man thought, maybe Gandhi's wife and children, they also have some difficulty. So how many shirts you need? Then he said, I need 20 lakh shirts. So this man cannot afford to give that money. 20 lakh shirts. He said, how is that you have such, you don't have such big family? He said, I am representing India, this nation, and all these people are my family members. When everybody has enough to eat, when everybody has enough to clothe, then I can also have. When my people don't have, how can I take them? I represent them. So this is called leadership. That is the reason why Gandhi could command masses. He could command masses. Because he was not maintaining any different standards. He was living a normal life, although he is representing a nation. And so he could put terms to everybody, because he is not trying to enjoy his life or anything. Similarly, how Gandhi could go bare chest, even in dead winters, it is the result of brahmacharya. A person who follows brahmacharya. There is a story in Prabhupada's book. One disciple, also even in winter, he was not wearing clothes properly, making sure I can tolerate. So Prabhupada did not like, because Vaishnavas are not supposed to torture their bodies. We should not torture the body. We go a middle path. We don't go to the extremes. Vaishnavas, middle path. We don't torture the body. We don't go for over luxuries. We don't go for unnecessarily torturing the body. Like that. So when Prabhupada saw everybody, Prabhupada was wearing clothes properly to keep his body warm. And one disciple was making a show that, you know, I can tolerate this much cold, that much cold. But Prabhupada is smart, Prabhupada is intelligent, because only when you eat very rich food, then you can have so much warmth in your body. So people who eat meat, or people who eat a lot of paneer, butter and things like that. So Prabhupada said, are you taking too much paneer and butter and things like that? Which is not good, no? So you don't have to do this, or you don't have to eat like that also. So eat simple food, and you wear proper clothes, and that is less expensive. How much it will cost to eat butter and paneer and all that daily, you know? So we are talking about a leader. A leader should live a simple life, and he should have qualification. And his motto is, my people first. Like Prabhupada also told, Kshatriyas are the year, and Kshatriyas are the present time. The leaders are the present day, and the leaders are the past. When Mahabharata war, Ramayana war, it is not that Ram, Lakshman, they were relaxing in their tents and they asked the people to go and fight. No, they were leading the war. They are in the front, war front, and then the soldiers. Previously, wars were fought like that. That's called wars of dharma. When the war is fought based on dharma, that means the two leaders have to confront, and whoever wins, the other leader is killed, finish. Automatically, the war is settled. But if that is not the case, you send just soldiers, and you are still living, so again you make some wicked plots, and how to, so all wicked things will go on. So religious wars, war based on dharma, in that the leader will first sacrifice his life. Once the leader is no longer there, others have to submit. All right. We fought and our leader is no longer, so that these ordinary people will not get killed. Once the leader dies, and ordinary people, they surrender, and the other man will not unnecessarily kill them. Because it is ideological clash between the leader, so they should be on the front. And then that settles the war. No? And then, so, nowadays, no, our leaders, they stay in their cozy big buildings in the capital, and then poor fellows in horrible conditions of, you know, Kargil or whatever, like, what is that pass between China and between China and India? What is that? It's coming nowadays in the papers. There's a conflict. Very tough places to stay. Throughout the year, temperatures will be almost like zero or below zero. And the soldiers, they are there. And it is easy for you. Send another 10 battalions. You don't know what it is to be like going there. No? So this is called exploiting masses for your comfortable life. No? So this is all the result of people who don't follow these four regulative principles. They are unfit to be leaders. So here, King Puranjan is a leader like that. And it is also such a bad example. A leader is supposed to exemplify ideals, no? So that others can follow him. Yatha Raja Tatha Praja. It is also said in democracy, Yatha Praja Tada Raja. If Praja wants liquor shops, Praja wants slaughter horses, and they elect a leader, we will provide them for this. Otherwise, they will vote for him. So, in the present democracy, you cannot call bad names to the leaders. You have to curse yourself because you have voted such leaders to the position. No? So, that means in democracy, the blame goes to the public because the power is in their hands. They can vote. Because the voters are not educated in gentle ways of life, the morality, the spirituality and so on. So they are also sense gratifiers. So when people are sense gratifiers, a bigger cheater will come. These guys are like this, and if I can promise them this and that, I will be in a portion, I can enjoy more. I can enjoy more if I just make them drink and make them do like this, and I will have my big office and I can completely exploit the nation. National level exploitation, you can do it. So unfortunately, this is what is going on nowadays, because now you cannot blame the public and because Vaishnavas are responsible. The Prabhupada said, why the public are like that? Why there are bogus people as gurus and all that? Because Vaishnavas are not dynamic. Vaishnavas are not... That means Prabhupada is taking on the responsibility. That's why he did whatever he could. Although he was very old, he did not spare himself, he did not relax. He exerted to his last breath. He felt it. Because Vaishnavas are not active, you know, so these bogus cheaters and these fake sadhus, bogus sadhus, because people want some guidance. And when Vaishnavas are not available, naturally they will be misled by cheaters, cheating gurus. So that's what our Gaudiya mission says. Don't become complacent. Oh, now I know Krishna is God, I have a mantra, and Krishna is providing for me. So nicely, I should do my devotion. No, a Vaishnava is a Goshtinandi. Goshtinandi means he cannot sit quiet to what is happening in the society or how people are unfortunate and are suffering and how there is total exploitation. See, Vaishnava, he doesn't want to be quiet. So he is heating up his head to find out ways and means how to introduce Krishna consciousness in the lives of the people at large. So we are reading about this king. So the point here is, here there are two things. One is the king is listening to his material intelligence. The queen here, in this allegorical story, the queen is actually the material intelligence. That means material intelligence cannot make you succeed in the life's mission. That's why we say you may be a big, you may be a very expert businessman. You may be a big scientist. You may be a very brilliant man. But that is all zero, because it has not touched your soul. You have not understood what is the soul. And what is your main business in life? Main business in life is to attempt freedom from cycle of birth and death. That is the business of life. Whatever you are doing, whether you are a family man, whether you are doing business, this or that, what is to be seen in your life is, what is your goal? What are you striving for in life? So if you are striving for freedom from repetition of birth and death, which means self-realization. No? We are trying for that. That means you are given a wonderful opportunity as a human being. Only in human life we can become free from cycle of birth and death. In no other form of life it is there. But if you misuse your intelligence to make some computer, some technical, some managerial, this thing and that. But the goal is not self-realization. As Prabhupada has introduced Krishna consciousness at all levels. It can be in management, but let us have Krishna conscious management. You can, like now in ISKCON we have many roles to play. But this is not, you cannot be like, you cannot be just a manager, but you have to be a Krishna conscious manager. Krishna conscious business, Krishna conscious doctor, things like that. So we have to change our material consciousness to spiritual consciousness or Krishna consciousness, and then all these shortcomings like losing reputation and missing the point of life and not discharging your duties properly, all this can be corrected when we become Krishna conscious and act. So I feel like we'll just read the purport. The mind is the place where the self is situated, and mind is conducted by the intelligence. The living entity situated within the heart follows the intelligence. The intelligence is herein depicted as the queen, and the soul under mental control follows material intelligence just as the king follows his wife. The conclusion is that material intelligence is the cause of bondage for the living entity. The point is that one has to take spiritual intelligence to come out of this entanglement. In the life of Maharaj Ambarish, we find that the great Maharaj first engaged his mind at the lotus feet of Krishna. In this way, his intelligence became purified. Maharaj Ambarish also used his other senses because his intelligence was purified in the service of the Lord. He engaged eyes in seeing the deity in the temple, nicely decorated with flowers. He engaged his sense of smell by smelling only the flowers that are offered to the Lord. He engaged his legs by walking to the temple, his hands for cleansing the temple, and his ears for hearing Krishna Katha, his tongue for relishing Krishna Pratadam and speaking about Krishna. Materialistic persons who are under full control of material intelligence cannot perform all these activities. Thus, consciously or unconsciously, they become entangled by the dictations of the material intelligence. This fact is summarized further in the following verse. So, a human life begins with an activity. We may have many responsibilities. But what is the most important responsibility? It is chanting Hare Krishna. We may have family. You cannot say, no, I have to take care of my family. I cannot chant. Then you will not have spiritual intelligence. And you are a leader. You say, I have so many, you know, like the collector, the district collector may say, I have so many engagements to attend all day. I don't have time. Then your life is ruined. And how you are going to actually help, really help anybody? Not possible. So our day should start with what? With our spiritual sadhana. And then you go on, take care of your family, take care of your profession, no problem. But guided by spiritual intelligence, which comes by chanting Hare Krishna. So, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.